Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
Here we are, middle of the summer, ready to go for another Mom Talk Radio. I don't know about you guys, but this is about the point where I'm thinking, come on, August, get here so that the kids can get back to school. And in some ways, I don't like when they go back to school because that's also a routine that I have to start myself. But this is going to be a great school year, I have to say, because this school year is actually the year that I get to graduate with my master's. So as my kids go back to school, I'll be going back to school myself. But I'm happy that you're here to share it with me. And we've got a great show lined up for you. As always, I want to thank our sponsor, Pre-Mama. You know, Pre-Mama has been bringing you that drinkable prenatal vitamin that is easy to swallow because there is nothing to swallow. You just mix it right into your juice or your water. It's tasteless and you get all the nutrition that you need during those prenatal months. But now coming to CVS is Pre-Mama's fertility and lactation formulas. They're going to be found in the baby and feminine care aisles of CVS stores nationwide. And because they're so good to us, I hope that our listeners and our moms will be good to them and check it out as you walk down the aisles of CVS. You know, there's lots of things also to keep your children entertained this summer. You can go to hpsmyprintly.com. There's all sorts of craft ideas, things you can print out to keep your children busy. Everything from coloring sheets to cupcake decorations that will fill time and also make you feel good about what you're doing. And while you're there, you can download some apps that will help you print your pictures a lot easier as well. And next up on Mom Talk Radio, when we return from our break, we're going to be talking with Jamie Glowacki. She is a woman who is going to help you uncover the mystery to potty training your child.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have with us one Rhode Island mom who's doing pretty amazing things to make your life easy. She is Jamie Glowacki, and she's here to talk about potty training. And let me tell you, other than sleep, it's probably, okay, I'm going to put this in the category of sleep, potty training, teaching your children how to drive. Those three things in life as a mom probably are the most difficult. You know, the food thing, they eventually will eat because they have to. But the potty training, the sleeping, and the driving, definitely a challenge. But Jamie has a lot of experience in this, and she's joining us to talk about it. So welcome, Jamie, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks.
So tell me, like, how did your focus become potty training?
I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I was a social worker in San Francisco, and I worked with dual-diagnosed moms. I taught parenting, and it became clear to me that potty training was an issue. I was not a mom. I was not part of mommy culture. I had no idea this was a hot button. I interviewed hundreds and hundreds of moms of my mom's generation to see what they did and weeded out all the abusive practices and figured out how to make this part of my parenting classes. Fast forward, I had my son, and I moved back to Rhode Island, and he turned 22 months, and I said, you know what, I told all my mom friends, I said, I'm out for a week, I got a potty train, and it was my first time being confronted with you can't potty train a boy at 22 months, and I was astounded. I said, yes, you can. So I did, and quite literally, he became a rock star. Like, we'd go to the grocery market, and people would say, is that the boy who's potty trained? So at the time, I owned a children's clothing store, and I started holding classes. And the classes started selling out, and I said, well, shoot, let me write this down. So I wrote it down, the bare bones. I put it online. It started to sell. Pediatricians were using it, and all of a sudden, I was a potty trainer. And and then it built and built and built, and I, you know, kept rewriting the book as I learned more about modern parenting struggles, you know, daycare, full-time daycare, those kinds of things. And then this February, Simon & Schuster made a deal with me. And so they just released Oh Crap Potty Training June 16th. And I am the poop lady.
Wow. Okay. The poop lady. So, okay, let's start with, what do you think is the biggest myth? Like, why do parents fear it? Like, what's the problem there?
Why parents fear it? I really blame social media. I think, like anything, we're hearing nightmare stories and they're compounded. We're seeing a lot of them. So I really blame the exponential factor of social media. I also think that the big diaper companies are purposely confusing parents. You know, you can walk into a store now, a grocery store, and see pull-ups in a size 10 with characters on them. So you just assume, you know, your 3 or 4 year old is at the end of the spectrum, you know, the safe zone. I also think that we're, you know, parents, there's just too much information. You know, you can go online and be flooded with, you know, anything. You know, let's take spanking. You know, you're going to ruin your child for life if you spank. And then the next expert's like, that's the only way you can discipline. So I think it's fear, and I think there's sort of a paralyzed fear about it because parents don't want to screw up their kids. You know,
so, yeah, exactly. Right. Right. Well, what about, so what is the trick to potty training, particularly boys?
There is no trick. So that's my huge soundbite. So everybody wants the trick because we're sort of a trick society. And there is no trick. It's a process. Just like if you ask somebody, what's the trick to teaching your kid how to walk? What's the trick to teaching your kid how to ride a bike, right? Every kid's different. Every kid's reaction is different. And there is no trick. It's just a process. If I had to give one, you know, deciding factor, it's the parent commitment. Mm-hmm. So a lot of parents go into potty training going, I'm just going to try it. They really give themselves an out. They try it for a half a day or a day, and they go, never mind, I can't take this. And or they go in with so much doubt that the child then has doubt. Can you imagine? Like, imagine teaching your kid how to drive and being filled with doubt. Your kid's going to be janky. Or kind of wiggly if you're filled with doubt. So you kind of have to put on your game face, make your commitment, know you're doing the right thing, know your child is capable of it, and go in fully committed. I would say that's the biggest deciding factor on potty training success.
So I love that word commitment because I think what happens is parents, like, we're so on the go that we just don't want to be bothered too, because we're
absolutely.
That would require that we can't do our grocery shopping at a certain time, or we, you know, have to stay home at a certain time because we have fear that our children will have to use a public restroom, whatever it is. It's just never good timing.
It's interesting you bring that up too, because I think one of the indicators of success too is, you know, parents are, you'll hear this a lot, wait till they're ready. I'm waiting till they're ready. And most parents miss the signs that their kid is ready. It's usually between 18 months and 24 months, and it's an interest in the toilet, an interest in seeing parents go to the bathroom. And I think it's the same reason. We're so busy that we miss these subtle signs. You know, so parents are kind of waiting for their kid to wave a white flag saying, okay, I'm done with diapers. And that's not what ready looks like.
That's very interesting, but that makes a lot of sense. So what should a mom never do when she's potty training?
I have three really big nevers. The first one is you never, ever ask the newly potty trained if they have to go. You need to prompt them, but you make it a statement, a choice, or a challenge. So you don't say, do you have to go pee, because your toddler is going to say their favorite word, no. And once your kid says no, even if they're dancing around on tippy toes, holding their little crotch, once they say no, you're going to engage in a power struggle. So you can't ask, so you will prompt them by saying, come, it's time to go to the potty. You can offer them a choice. Do you want to go first or second? Do you want the big toilet or the little potty? And the third is a challenge, and that's just, you know, I'll race you to the potty. I can go faster. So a lot of kids, you know, if you have a spirited kid, they love the challenge. You know, no, I'll go first. So,
right. That's pretty smart, because everybody likes to have control, right? Even a two-year-old.
Yes.
And that's a pretty smart idea there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's a really good thing to remember, too, is that toddler control, they crave control. So you want to give it where you can. The next big never I have is never, ever post on Facebook that you are going to stop potty training. You will get 64 conflicting comments, and it will blew you up immeasurably. You'll be all confused. You'll be like, okay, do I give them an M&M? Do I, you know, walk there behind if they have an M&M? You'll get 64 comments, and it will totally undermine your commitment and your resolve and your plan that you have in your head. Right. And then the third never I have is, once you begin potty training, do not give a child a diaper to poop in if they request it. So that's a really kind of common thing that's come up this past year or two. You know, kids are having more and more difficulty pooping, and there is fear, and there are ways to work with that and work around it. But if you give the child a diaper to poop in, that habit is, it turns the child into a monster. And then regularly in September, I will get clients kicked out of kindergarten or first grade because they're not properly potty trained. So right. Those are my nevers.
Wow, that's amazing. So can you tell us where we can, you have a website, I take it?
Yeah, we have a website, jamiegalecki.com. Simon & Schuster release book, it's everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, tons of bookstores, Sam's Club, Target, and the Kindle version is available as well. Yeah.
Okay, and spell that for us, your name, so that everyone can find it.
Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, Glowacki, glow as in glow in the dark, wacky, W-A-C-K-I.
Well, thank you so much. There's nothing wacky about what you're talking about. It's really smart stuff, and it makes so much sense when you say it. I think we probably all maybe know it, but it makes so much sense the way you've said it. So pick up a copy of the book. We have a link to her website on Mom Talk Radio. And for those of you who are trying to maybe learn a little bit more about products and different procedures and practices when it comes to kids, check out Mom TV, our sister media there, www.momtv.com. We got lots of really great videos from other moms who are trying to potty train, find the right products, and all the rest. When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who is doing some pretty amazing things on a blog called weightsover.com. There's a lot of issues that moms deal with, and we are putting the spotlight on one mom, Wendy Del Monte. She is the mother of a 13-year-old and 16-year-old. She's the blog owner of weightsover.com. You can find her on Twitter at The Weights Over. And having a 13 and 16-year-old puts a focus on a very important topic, and that is bullying. And Wendy and I are going to talk about that today. So welcome, Wendy, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So I know as a mom of teenagers that at some point, particularly with girls, it seems that bullying just kind of gets a little out of hand and it takes on different forms. And I was wondering if you have experienced that and what are the signs that you look for?
Okay. Yes, bullying is actually almost epidemic now in our country because it's so much different now than it was when you and I were kids, Maria. You know, we would get bullied at school or outside of school and we'd go home and it would end. And what happens with our kids now is that they are followed by social media and the bullying never ends. If you turn off your computer or you shut down your phone, it's still there later. And also, it's easier for other kids to jump in. Kids are naturally followers, or a lot of teenagers or kids are followers, and they feel like they're safe hiding behind the veil of the internet. So I do have a 16-year-old. My daughter, Allie, is 16, and my son, Aiden, is 13, and both of them have experienced bullying. And sadly, Allie's bullying got to such an extreme point that when she was 13, I walked into her room as she was attempting suicide. That's how bad it got. And it totally changed all of our lives forever. And I'd like to say that she's totally healthy and happy now. And actually, she is also a blogger. She writes a blog called losergirl.com, and she counsels teenagers, or she talks to teenagers about bullying, and she started a movement called Be Brave, Stand Up to the Bullies, and Stand Up to the Bullies. So, she helps other kids realize that it's going to get better and, you know, just hold on. And she talks a lot about how to learn to love yourself, et cetera, et cetera. But as a parent, you know, there's, you know, what happens is you think that it's just normal mean kid behavior,
right,
you know,
right,
that we all see, right? You think that, oh, I mean, this is what I did to my daughter. Well, your friends are having a little spat. It's okay. Then just don't sit with them at lunch, or just don't, you know, find some new friends, or suck it up. You have to go to school. And what was happening is she didn't know how to tell me, Mom, they're, you know, they're messaging me on Tumblr 243 times to go kill myself. Did you cut yourself? Did you drink the bleach? Have you taken the pills?
Right.
You know, when our kids are bombarded with those kinds of messages over and over, it's a lot different than some bully pushing you up against a locker.
Right, right, exactly.
It's really psychologically damaging.
Right.
So, miss it. You know, parents miss it. I was definitely a super hands-on mom that, you know, PTA mom, stay-at-home mom, you know, always involved in my kids' lives, and I missed that. This was so bad. Right. I thought it was just normal teenage stuff. So there are definitely things to look out for. Like Allie had some medical problems, but she always had a headache, or she didn't feel good, or she didn't want to go to school, or she got to school, she wanted to come home. And I just thought it was normal. You know, she had Lyme disease. We live in Connecticut, so, you know, that's not so normal. Or she didn't want to take the school bus. Didn't have a problem sleeping. Actually, she would sleep a lot to escape, right? That was her way of escaping. But just changes in her normal behavior before they got to this point. She was, a pretty happy-go-lucky.
So we really need to start. We need to look for some of those signs. And even if we think we're being attentive, that sometimes, you know, asking our children to express themselves and let you know why is it that you don't want to be at school. Sometimes we have to read behind the lines. Really good information, Wendy. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us. And her website is weightsover.com. You can follow Wendy at The Weights Over on Twitter. Maybe perhaps you want to reach out to Wendy and find out what her daughter's blog is. And I know that I'm going to have my daughter look it up. And it never hurts to allow your children to express themselves and also to read some blogs and connect with kids like themselves. So, as we move into the summer, we're going to be tackling a lot of topics that are important to you as a mom. And when we return from our break, we're going to do just that. We're going to talk about minerals and sodium and all of the things that you need to put into your body to feel great this summer and into the school year.
Succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
A lot has been written and said about nutrition, and I always like to tackle ideas and products that are out there to kind of give us a little bit more information about what we put into our body. And today we're joined by Daryl Bosshart. He is a spokesperson for Redmond Trading Company. They manufacture and distribute real salt, an all-natural, unprocessed crystal salt. He grew up working for the family mineral business in Utah, and he's here joining us today to talk a little bit about it. So welcome, Daryl, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Maria. Glad to be here today.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, too. And I see that you actually live in Heber City, Utah, a place that I have taken my children sledding during the winter. So,
up at Soldier Hollow?
Yes, yes. So we have something in common there. I think we've actually stopped in Heber City to buy, because we live in Florida, we don't own a sled. So we've actually stopped there and bought sleds. But today it's too sunny to talk about snow, so let's talk about salts. Tell me a little bit about, like, salt, so potassium and sodium. Why is it important to our bodies?
Yeah, so, you know, as you're out, especially in the summertime, and even in the wintertime when you're doing sports, your body is using and burning salt all of the time. In fact, if you ever cry, you'll notice your tears are salty, your sweat is salty, urine is salty. And so our bodies are flushing and burning through electrolytes every day. And even more so in the hot summer when we're out playing with the kids or playing soccer, we might be roofing a house, even just working in the garden or walking the dog or playing around to golf. We are burning through a lot of salts, and the hotter it is and the more we're sweating, the more salts we're losing. And if we don't replace those salts, all kinds of things start to go wrong.
Yes, indeed. And so do we find those salts, like if you're dehydrated and such, does like things like Gatorade replenish it, or why do we need supplements?
Yeah, so Gatorade, the Florida Gators, the athletic team in Florida, were sweating and they got nauseous and their legs cramped up and they were getting charley horses because they were burning through all of this salt. And they realized that, and so they created a product called Gatorade to aid the Florida Gators. Mm-hmm. And they were right. The salt that they were losing was essential to replace. The challenge is if you look at a commercial electrolyte today, the second and third ingredients are sugar and dextrose. And they're just loaded with sugar and artificial colors and flavors. And so I wanted to tell all your listeners about a way that they can make their own electrolyte sports drink for the kids in the backyard, for the golf course, for the hike at the park. And it's at a fraction of the price of the commercial electrolytes, but you don't get any of the sugar and any of the artificial colors and flavors and some of the crazy stuff that's in so many of our products today.
So tell me how to do it then.
Okay, super easy. So you want to start with a quart of clean water. I think the best spring water you can find, or a good clean filtered water, the cleanest water you can find. And then to that, you're going to want to add one quarter teaspoon of real salt. Real salt's a brand of natural mineral salt from Utah. Not only does it have the sodium chloride in it, but it also has potassium chloride, calcium chloride, other electrolytes, other minerals in there that not only make it taste great, but also are essential for, you know, balancing electrolytes in the body. So you take a quart of water, a quarter teaspoon of real salt, and then to that, you just add a squeeze of lemon. And it's the cleanest, tastiest sports drink you'll ever find. It doesn't have any of the chemicals in it. You can make it literally for pennies or less. And if you're like me and you like a little sweetness in your drink, I add a little bit of honey to mine. So you get a natural pick-me-up from the honey. But that's it. That's the entire recipe. A quart of water, a quarter teaspoon of real salt, a squeeze of lemon, and a little bit of honey. Best sports drink you'll ever find.
Wow, that's amazing. So now... and it doesn't taste salty?
No, in fact, it tastes really good. What's interesting, as the body gets low on salt, salt starts to taste better. That's sometimes maybe why you crave chips or you crave sunflower seeds that have salt on them. Because without salt, you'll start to die, and eventually you will die. This is why, even though we hear salt's bad for us, you know, salt in the right form is actually essential for life, because if you and I went to the hospital today, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to hook us up to an IV of saline solution, which is actually salt water. If they gave you an IV of distilled water or an IV of soda pop or an IV of tap water, it'd be deadly. They've got to give you an IV of saline solution, which is salt water, because salt is so essential for life. The body must have an electric current to live. This is why, you know, if your heart goes into fibrillation, they'll use the defibrillator to restart the heart, because your hand moves because of an electric current that travels from your mind down to your arm. And so we need to conduct electricity, and to do that, we have to be able to have natural salts in our body, not the processed chemical stuff that's full of anti-caking agents and been demineralized. You need a natural, real salt as opposed to some of the processed stuff out there, and great clean water, and it's the best sports drink you'll ever find. Much less expensive and without any of the sugars and all the chemicals that are in so many of our products today.
And so where do we get this real salt?
Well, you can learn a little more about it just at realsalt.com. Pretty easy to remember, as opposed to fake salt. It's realsalt.com. But you can find that real salt at most of your local health food stores, places like Whole Foods or different mom-and-pop, smaller chain and independent health food stores. And even some grocery stores have it. And then you can find it, of course, at Amazon and all of your favorite online retailers as well.
And it's called Real Salt, and it's put out by RedmondTrading.com. You can find out more information there as well. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today and talking a little bit about Real Salt. And remember, you guys, Real Salt, it's all natural, unprocessed crystal sea salt. And it's the summertime, so you're going to lose a lot of salt. Thank you so much, Daryl, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about the summer and things to do with your kids, and now they're bored. But, you know, it's not too late to try to fit in just one more vacation. And there's so many wonderful places to go. Did you actually know that August and even into the beginning of September is the best time of year to go to Walt Disney World? And you would think, oh my God, I don't want to go when it's hot and the crowds. But quite honestly, a lot of the Florida schools actually start the first weekend of August. So August is one of the best times to go. You can check out, they have great deals, particularly on their hotels and their meal packages. If you go to Disney.com, you can find out all of that. And you can go to the Disney Moms panel, and they answer all the questions that you want live, answered by a mom just like yourself. So when we return, we're going to turn our focus to a clinical psychologist who knows a lot about autism, ADHD, anxiety, and learning behavior. She's joining us from New Jersey in just a second.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am very excited to have with us Dr. Liz Mathias. She has really dedicated her life to children, working with parents. She does a lot in the fields of autism, ADHD, anxiety, dyslexia. And, you know, it's the summertime. Some of us are challenged either with our children, keeping them on a schedule, and Dr. Mathias is here to tell us a little bit about the importance of maintenance and routine. So welcome, doctor, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
During the summer, we just kind of like, as moms, like let things go. We think it's a time to give up routines, but I think your thought is that we need to really maintain them.
Yes, for sure. And I fall prey to this as well. I think, oh, school year is over. I don't have to keep on top of things. I think as parents, we just want a break. But I know for my own children and for a lot of children that I work with, the summer is not perceived as a, yay, we're going to have a break in the routine. It's, oh, no, what are we going to do? And there's just, I feel like there's a lot of anxiety that comes with this transition, although in our minds we see it as it's summer, we're not going to school, we're not doing homework, and it should be a fun time. But establishing a routine is equally as important during the summer as it is during the school year. So mm-hmm. One of the key things that I really promote is having, if you're not going to camp, then what are you doing with the morning hours? You know, even if you're allowing everyone to sleep in, if you're fortunate enough to have children who sleep in, because mine don't, a wake-up time is at a particular time, a range, and having a range of time during which you do things like maybe there's some school time. There's a half hour, 45 minutes of school time. There's a half hour of cleanup time. There's 45 minutes of doing chores, whatever those chores are doing are for your children. Again, to hold them to a routine, to responsibility, to accountability, because summer doesn't mean it's a free-for-all. It's still a time of the year where things are happening. It's just different.
So why is the bedtime still important?
Because all children have a natural wake-up and sleep time. And when we push too far, you either have children who are sleep deprived and they become very aggravated and agitated, and you're looking at children who are just not pleasant to be around. Mm-hmm. And also it throws off our appetite. When we are thrown off in our sleep-wake cycle, we crave a lot of carbs for energy to keep us going. And then you end up eating just a ton of carbs as opposed to protein and fruits and vegetables to maintain your energy and just feeling good, maintaining a positive mood and being able to enjoy activities that parents work very hard to coordinate and put together with either just their family or with other families. So having a consistent bedtime is still important. It can't be just children can sit in front of the TV and fall asleep at midnight or 2 a.m. or play video games until whenever. I think with screen time, it's very easy to say summertime is screen time, but limiting it during the summer is equally as important as during the school year. So 30 minutes a day, then stick with it. And whatever that time is, and what I encourage a lot of parents to do is that screen time comes as a result of having done something that you already had to do. So after you do your chores, then you can have your 30 minutes of screen time. And then when the timer goes off or when I give you a warning, it's time to turn off, you know, all the electronics, and then I get them.
I almost try to imagine a mom only having 30 minutes of screen time. What are we telling our children when we give them 30 minutes of screen time and we're sitting there on our iPhone in the parking lot or at the field and whatever, telling our children, oh, go out and play, but we're sitting there on our iPhones?
You know, we need to put our iPhones down too. I mean, that applies to us as adults, you know. And that's a really important point that you bring up is, you know, we're equally as distracted by our electronics when we're looking at them and coordinating. I think there's a time and a place. You know, our phones have taken the place of our paper and pencil planners. And so I would, if I was writing in my planner, nobody would think twice of it. But because now it's on my phone, you know, it might be looked down upon. However, I think we need to maintain some flexibility in terms of I'm going to use my phone to send a text to coordinate something. I'm going to go onto my calendar to put a reminder on there to set a time that we're going to do something. And then put it down. Put it in your bag. Lower the volume of the ringer and the notifications. Limit your time on Facebook, Instagram, and the Pinterest and all that. Give yourself that as well. Like if that's what you want to give yourself at the end of the day after everyone has gone to bed and you want to give yourself 30 minutes to go on Pinterest, that's fine, but not in the midst of having your children present, because then you're present, but you're not available.
Right. Absolutely. And I love that being present with our children. It's so very important. I say it all the time on Mom Talk Radio. Look into the whites of their eyes when you speak to them. It's really hard to do. And you have to practice doing it. You have a website, psychedconsult.com. I'm going to have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us again. We love to have you on Mom Talk Radio, and we hope you have a wonderful summer. And moms, we hope you're having a wonderful summer as well. Don't forget to check us out online. You can follow me on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. There you will find a whole bunch of, I don't know, I kind of think I get funny sometimes on Twitter. So follow me on Mom Talk Radio on Twitter. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to our children's teeth. We are going to turn our attention to our children's teeth, and we are joined by Carol John. She is a dental hygienist. She has been since 1982. She has many years in the clinic, and we're going to talk about the importance of flossing, which we hear a lot about. Carol, welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks.
So I don't know, about the time I was 15, I got tired of hearing women like you tell me, you're not flossing enough, you're not flossing enough. And I decided that I was never going to go back to the dentist again and hear that. And I'm kind of addicted to flossing now. But why overall is flossing important?
Well, flossing is important because everyone needs to clean between their teeth. Your toothbrush, the brushing alone just isn't enough. And between the teeth, that's the place that most dental problems start, especially gum disease. The toothbrush just can't get the plaque from that area. And more than 50% adults over the age of 30 actually have gum disease, and that is the root cause of both tooth loss and bad breath. But I'd like to say that the only way to clean between your teeth isn't just with string floss. There are many other alternatives today so that you don't have to avoid your dentist or dental hygienist, and many ways, including the Waterpik water flosser, which has been compared to string floss on numerous occasions in scientific studies, 50% more effective in improving gum health. It gets deep between the teeth. It gets below the gum line where brushing and flossing really can't reach. So that's really great news for people that struggle with the use of traditional string floss.
Mm-hmm. And what about, though, like, I know that my mom always said, you know, that the kids weren't allowed to use the Waterpik because I think because she was just afraid of a mess with, you know, eight kids using it. Is it really something we can use for our kids? I've never thought about using it for my children.
It's a great question, and I certainly understand your mom's perspective, because, boy, if there isn't something as tempting and fun as water for kids, what is there? But several years ago, we developed a kids' water flosser. It's fun color. It's green. It has decals. It has a little bit of a smaller handle, so mm-hmm. It is adapted for that, you know, kids that are from about ages 6 to 12. I think that there always should be a little bit of supervision, particularly with the six-year-old, and helping them to use it. But they can use it on a, you know, moderate setting. It's easy. And as far as after they're 12 or 13 and they're going into orthodontic appliances, it's really, really necessary. And they can use an adult version. We have a cordless version. So if mom is concerned about that, a lot of people like to take it into the shower. And it really cleans the braces, it cleans the mouth. And to me, you start kids out on a habit that's easy, it's effective, and that they can do for the rest of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about for our kids with braces? Can kids with braces, we only have 2 minutes, can they use them?
Absolutely, they can use them. We have a really great tip. It's called the orthodontic tip. It's a small little brush. It'll help clean around those brackets. And it has been shown to remove 3 times as much plaque as just string floss, 5 times more than brushing only, and reducing the bleeding. And, you know, when kids have braces, they have a tendency to get those white spots because they don't get the plaque off. So you really want a tool that's going to help them keep the braces plaque-free.
Well, and where do we go for more information?
You can go to the Waterpik website, www.waterpik.com. We are also on Facebook, so you can find us there under Waterpik Oral Health, either of those places. You can get a lot of information about our products and about the clinical benefits we've seen in our studies.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We'll have a link to it on our website. Thank you, Carol, so much. So folks, remember, your kids not only need to eat healthy, although those couple of s'mores that you are going to have over the weekend is, I'm not going to fight anyone about giving their kids s'mores because I love s'mores, but when you're done, don't forget their teeth is important, and whether it's brushing and flossing or flossing and brushing, it's important for them to do. Thank you so much for joining spending some of your time with us this weekend, and we will be back here next week, this time right here on Mom Talk Radio. So everybody have a great week.